Internet. I'm your husband, host Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife, host Teresa McElroy.
And you're listening to Schmanners.
It's Extraordinary Etiquette.
For ordinary occasions. Hello, my dove.
Hello, dear.
Happy Max Fun Drive week two.
Week two.
Last official day that we usually do, like an amnesty weekend where you can still get another prizes. I woke up with some sinus stuff.
Well, you know, tis the season.
Tis the season. Hopefully, our editor, Rachel, without whom we could not make the show, and without your support, we wouldn't have Rachel, will edit out most of my sniffles.
But you know what else is this season?
Max Fun Drive?
No, Max Fun Drive, Snifflies, and wedding season.
Well, you know what's a perfect marriage? Support and the artists you love. Because without you, we couldn't make this show. And without this show, your life would be empty, hollow. You'd have nothing to look forward to on Fridays. And so I'm glad that we can provide that for you, but we can only do that for you because of the support you provide for us during the Max Fun Drive. Once a year, we come to you and say, hey, please consider supporting the art and the artists you love by going to MaximumFun.org/join, finding a level of support that works for you, committing to that level once a month. Or maybe you're already a member, and this is the time where you decide to upgrade your membership to the next level. Or maybe you're not ready to upgrade to the next level just yet, but you want to give a couple extra bucks a month by boosting your membership. All of those things help us out. All of those things allow us to make sure we can make this show as good as can be, that we can make this show consistently, that this show can be our jobs. So thank you so much for not just the support you've shown this year, but the support you've shown over many, many years of Max Fun Drives. So please go to MaximumFun.org/join. There are rewards that come with each of those levels, and we'll tell you what those are a little bit later. But just want to say thank you so far, and let's get on with the episode.
Just like the Max Fun Drive, you join together.
Sure.
And you make a commitment, and you
pay each other.
Upgrade in a wedding?
I will say that my life definitely upgraded when I married you.
Oh, thanks.
Though
babes,
we were already living together for many years at that point. So I was,
no, only like two.
That's many. That's two. Too many.
We have a lot of shows about weddings. And here's the thing. A lot of stuff goes into a wedding. That's why we have so many shows about it. There are lots of, I mean, rules, traditions.
I would say that, like,
happenings.
Right up there with maybe, like, Christmas. I don't know. I feel like there's a run trying to decide, like, which kind of thing has the most etiquette, history, pomp, and circumstance build up around it. Mm. And I feel like the thing about wedding is there's so – it's not just, like, a day.
Yeah.
Right. It's all the stuff up to it. It's all the events, the proposal, the you know, showers,
engagements, parties.
the parties, that there's so much to it.
Yes. Speaking of pomp and circumstance,
uh-huh,
let's get right into it and
is
talk
that
about
boo 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 boo. Is that pomp?
Is that maybe?
Or is
I think
that
so.
That's not green sleeves? That's a different.
No, that's
that.
Definitely not green sleeves. Anyway, the most glamorous wedding that we have found, not saying that your wedding wasn't glamorous,
well,
listeners, but when you ask a little girl perhaps what they would like to be when they grow up, there are a few things that tend to come up over and over again.
Okay,
don't
hold
you
on.
Think?
I'm listening to punk. This is. That's okay.
Okay. So maybe that was Jacob's
ladder.
Some canon?
Yeah.
Canon in D.
Pacabell's canon.
Oh.
Taco Bell's canon.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Anyway.
Glamour's wedding.
There are a couple of things that tend to return, right? Princess.
Sure.
Right? Movie star.
Dragon.
That could also be in there. But what if you could be both?
A princess movie star?
Princess movie star, because Grace Kelly did that.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. On April 18th and 19th, 1956.
It was a two-day wedding?
Yes. The beautiful film star married Rainier III, the sovereign prince of the Principality of Monaco, officially making her princess.
Do you, Grace Kelly, take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? Wait till tomorrow to find out.
Kind of.
Same wedding time.
So 2 years after her Best Actress Oscar win for her role, A Country Girl, opposite Bing Crosby, she got her dream wedding. I mean, there's definitely kind of like a, I don't know, there's a price to pay for this sort of thing.
Yeah, it's about money.
Yes. But the entire celebration cost a fortune.
I bet.
$2 million of which, in that time's money, right, $2 million, was contributed as a dowry from Kelly's father because, you know, he's expected to offer that, at least that much, to the crown of Monaco in exchange for the prince marrying a, quote, commoner.
Sure. Sure.
And there really isn't an exact total of their nuptials.
That's how you know it was expensive.
But it was decadent. There was a traditional ceremony in Monaco, which is two separate celebrations. The first one being held in the presence of 80 guests and finalized with a recitation of the 142 official government titles that she inherited through marriage.
So that was what, like 2 hours, 3 hours?
I don't know, man. That was, but that was kind of like the princessy one, right?
Uh-huh.
And then there was a gala, and which took place after the opening of the Opera di Monte Carlo.
Sure.
Which they both went to. So it was like a dinner and a show, right?
Yeah.
And then the next day, on the 19th, was when they had a church ceremony held at St. Nicholas Cathedral in Monaco in the presence of 700 guests.
Oh, boy.
The venue was decorated with lilies and white lilacs and snapdragons and candles and pearls. Harper's Bazaar reported that Grace's wedding gown cost around $8,000 at the time, which is about $100,000 in today's money.
And that's a lot, right? Like, that, I know. Like, yes. To be clear, I know that's a lot of money on paper. I'm asking, as wedding dresses go, that was a very expensive wedding
dress. That's an expensive wedding dress. That's the top, I would say, of like wedding dresses that you could get that are not bespoke. Right. I mean, certainly a wedding dress can cost as much as you're willing to pay for it.
Sure,
right.
Sure.
But I have not heard of dresses costing more than that, quote, off the rack.
OK, got it.
It was 25 yards of silk taffeta, 100 yards of silk net.
All dragging behind her.
And
just picking up sticks and leaves everywhere she went.
No, they picked that stuff up. I mean, the dress. But I mean, probably the sticks and leaves. And 125-year-old Rose Point lace bought from a museum.
That's a shame that they couldn't get any new stuff.
Maybe the pearls were new. There were thousands of them. Trumpets sounded when the groom made his entrance. And after the ceremony, Grace and Rainier rode to the reception in a Rolls Royce, arriving at the Hotel de Paris along with 600 guests, 3,000 citizens, and a 6-tiered wedding cake made to replicate the palace in sugar.
I bet that hotel was surprised.
They weren't surprised.
They were obviously planning this. Oh, okay.
Rainier once remarked that the celebration overall felt like the biggest circus in history, and that he and Grace Kelly both agreed that they would really should have gotten married in a little chapel in the mountains. But
sure. That's fun to say after you've had a bajillion-dollar wedding. Like, yeah, if I do it all over again, tiny chapel in the mountain.
I mean, this was basically orchestrated by two established institutions, right? So Rainier was beholden to the tradition of his country, right? Because he's a prince. And Grace Kelly was beholden to MGM.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The media giant would only allow Grace to be released from her movie contract because back then contracts were for a set of movies,
yeah,
right? And
you
could be with
yeah.
a studio and you could be loaned to other studios, but then you would have to fulfill other contracts.
Such a weird system.
Yeah. But they would only allow her to be released from this contract both of her wedding ceremonies.
Oh.
So make a kind of movie out of it, right?
Interesting.
And so that's probably why there were so many star-studded guests, including Ava Gardner, Gloria Guinness, Cary Grant.
Travis McElroy.
No. Gloria Swanson and Aristotle Onassis.
Uh-huh.
Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis's second husband.
Yeah.
Who gifted them a yacht that took them on their honeymoon.
Oh, that's nice.
No, yeah, that's nice.
I mean, I'd like that. If anyone wants to give me a yacht, I wouldn't say no. I don't know where I'd keep it.
I mean, and then the mooring responsibilities, that whole thing, it probably very expensive. You have to pay for the space it takes up in the pier.
Oh, man. I didn't plan on this. Now I'm all stressed out about my yacht responsibilities.
That you don't have?
Oh, right. Thank you
right,
for reminding
right,
me.
Okay. Right. Frank Sinatra, however, did not give them
a yacht.
No, he did not attend, citing that he didn't want his presence to outshine the event.
Okay, listen.
I bet that's so cool. Except I bet that him not being there was also the thing that people talked about because he was so famous at the time.
Isn't it wild? Like, you have to be the right type of person to say that with a straight face. I have often found that if I'm like playing like a D&D event with people or something, and I introduce myself as I'm Travis McElroy, I'm kind of the bad boy of Dungeons and Dragons. So he gets a laugh every time. And I guarantee that there are people out there who could deliver that line with a straight face and people would be like, yeah, seems right.
Okay.
Yeah, that seems right. But when I say it, it gets laughed. Like if I tried to do that and someone's like, why weren't you at this big famous person's wedding? And I was like, I didn't want to outshine the event. People would laugh, right? But Frank Sinatra says it and everyone's like, what a cool dude.
What a cool dude. So that was definitely very glamorous, much expense, right?
You know what else is very glamorous?
Oh,
the reward you get from the Maximum Fun Drive. That's right. There are rewards. It's not just the reward of happiness and warmth in your heart.
Although that is quite rewarding.
It's very nice. But also, there's over 600 hours of bonus content. And for just $5 a month, you will get access to all of it. Not just this year's bonus content, but every single bit of bonus content there has been made in the past.
Several of those hours are our bonus content.
That's true. And there's video content. This year, Teresa and I did an episode about the history of emojis, as well as a little video quiz where I flashcard quizzed Teresa on what emojis mean in the slang sort of sense. And she did her best.
I did. As well as can be expected.
She did
for my very firmly millennial brain.
But there's all kinds of stuff. There's stuff from My Brother, Me, Adventure Zone, Schmanners, Sawbones, Still Buffering, Wonderful, all kinds of stuff. This year, I'm very excited because the wonderful bonus content is an episode of Rose Buddies, which was my favorite podcast when they were still Rose Buddies. So that's very exciting to me. But you can get all of that at MaximumFun.org/join. And then for $10 a month, you'll get access to all that bonus content and your choice of enamel pin, each one representing one of the shows on MaximumFun.org. There's some really great ones on there, but I'm a little bit biased because I think that the Schmanners one is so cute. It's a little winking teacup
that
says,
"It is very cute.
Get it. It's so great." For $20 a month, you get your choice of pin, you get 600 plus hours of bonus content, and you get to choose between the Max Fun Bucket Hat or the Games on the Go kit that has all of the game pieces there for checkers on a bandana game board that you can take with you, that you can wear for convenience. It's all there. And there's higher levels too, but the important thing is if our shows are important to you, if it's the kind of thing where like every Friday you're like, oh, I get to listen to Schmanners on my way to home from work or whatever, or like, oh, when I pick up the kids from school, I'll check out the new episode. Or if you're just like knowing that content like this exists in the world and you like listening to it and you like knowing that there are people out there making stuff that you like, please consider going to MaximumFun.org/join. There's a bunch of different options of how you can support, but all of it means the world to us, and it all gives us the chance to make these shows for you and hire people to make the shows better and help us do more things. And all of that is because of the support that we've been shown over the years. So if you want to contribute to that support, please consider going to MaximumFun.org/join right now and becoming a member.
Let's move on to Rudest Groom.
Okay, I'm into this.
Let's kind of couch this just a little bit, because
we're talking about a real crude dude with plenty of tune.
I mean, yes, but also this was not uncommon as far as like royal marriages go. Okay,
yeah.
This marriage had nothing to do with love.
Sure.
But we're going to say that the superlative of Rudest Boy goes to King George IV.
Oh, call him Rude Boy.
Boy, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it, right? In 1795, George, then merely the Prince of Wales, was arranged to marry his cousin, Princess Caroline of Brunswick.
Gross!
Well, I mean, not, also again, normal for the time period and royals.
Sure.
And he was a jerk about it.
Oh, man.
First of all, he already had a wife.
Now, okay, that doesn't seem like a rude thing.
I mean, so much as,
I guess if someone proposed marriage to me and then I found out they were already married, I would maybe say, how rude, you know, a little bit.
So he had a, quote, secret marriage in contravention to the Royal Marriages Act. But even though it wasn't, like, legally binding, everybody knew about it. That's why it was, quote, secret. Everybody knew that he was already
more around the marriage point than the secret point.
No, both. I mean,
you said it wasn't legally sanctioned.
It wasn't legally binding, but it also wasn't a secret.
Yeah. So it was secret marriage.
Not secret.
But it wasn't a marriage. What I'm saying, the secret part's not in quotes. The marriage part is in quotes.
The secret part is in quotes.
No, but it's not.
It's
it wasn't.
Not secret. Oh, then everybody knows
secret.
It.
Marriage.
Yes.
So
double
two
quotes.
Sets. Secret
marriage.
You can't just put secret marriage in one. It's got to be secret marriage.
Yes.
Okay. Double quotes.
Double quotes. So his union to Caroline obviously wasn't based on love, but it was money. He had accrued hundreds of thousands of pounds in debt, and Caroline had the money to pay it off. Don't you think, at least in that situation, if you were in that situation, you'd be a little grateful, right? You needed this person in the form of their cash value.
If it was me, yes. Now, if I was raised as a, this was 1700s, 1700s royal, who somehow incurred hundreds of thousands of pounds of debt and then went, I should do something about this. Because that's not like one bad hand of poker.
No.
Right? That's like over years he incurred this debt and said, you know what? This is starting to worry me.
George and Caroline did not see each other, had not like officially met each other until Caroline arrived for the wedding.
And sparks flew.
No.
Oh.
Apparently, when he first saw her, he exclaimed, I am not well. Get me a glass of brandy.
Okay. Was Brandy his secret wife?
No.
Because that would be funny, at least.
The bride was insulted.
Yeah.
And retorted, reportedly, that he was, quote, nothing like as handsome as his portrait.
Oh.
So the evening went down about as bad as things could go.
It was the equivalent of, like, the childhood rhyme of, like, you need to grow up, and when I look at you, I want to throw up. And then her going, oh, yeah? Well, you don't look like your profile picture. So, yeah. Like, you said you were 6'8", and blah, 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 right? This is basically what we're looking at.
Are people 6'8" on the reg?
No, baby. That's not a common thing. But I'm saying if you're going to lie about your height,
oh, okay.
You wouldn't say, okay. Like, I'm going to lie and say I'm 5'9", right? You're just going to go for it. Say, right. Hey, 6'8".
Okay. To add insult to injury, that evening, George appointed his mistress, Lady Jersey, to be Caroline's lady of the bedchamber. So, like, she had to be, like, around her 24/7.
That sounds like something straight out the great, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
On the wedding day, April 8th, they had a extremely awkward ceremony at St. James Palace. Why, you say? Because George was so intoxicated, he could barely stand up.
Oh, boy.
And at several points...
I've seen some of those on TikTok, too. Though,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
At several points in the ceremony, he refused to participate.
Oh, Boise.
And then his father, the king, would make him. And as the
what
ceremony...
What a cool look, huh?
Yeah. Yeah,
as how old was he at this point?
I don't know exactly.
Okay, I'll look up.
But as the ceremony wore on, these things do tend to wear on, he was openly crying about how much he did not want to marry Caroline.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
So vows exchanged were awkward, right? And then also the reception, and then also the wedding night, which is usually attended by several courtiers. I'm not sure if at this point in history, in the 1790s, they were still doing that, but at least someone was waiting outside the door. Caroline.
Okay, wait. So he, okay. He was also 33 at this point. It's important to know. When you're talking about, like, he was so drunk, his father had to make him. I was like, wait, is he, like, 16, 17? Oh. What are you talking about? Now he was 33.
Does that make it better that he's so much older?
Not the rest of it, though, doesn't make up for it.
She said about that wedding night that they returned to their room where George promptly passed out in the fireplace grate.
Oh.
Where he fell and I left him, she said.
She was 27 when they married.
I mean, at least they were close in age.
Yeah.
Let's go to the other side of things, away from royalty.
Okay.
Let's go to best undressed.
Excuse me?
We're talking about wild weddings. Okay. And if you're going to talk about a wild wedding.
They were nude, totally nude?
That's right.
Okay.
Let's talk about a nudist wedding.
Okay.
In the news.
In the nudes.
Yes. Regis and Tabitha Perch met.
Regis and Kathy Lee.
No. Met at a resort in 2004. And so it was only appropriate that they get married at that same place 4 years later.
Uh-huh.
Which is very romantic, if you ask me.
Sure.
Going back to the place you met.
As long as the place you met is nice, right?
Very nice, yeah.
But if it's like, oh, yeah, like we got into a car accident.
Oh,
at the corner of a street. Maybe then.
That's when you...
Right? Or we met like in an urgent care because I cut my finger open with a hedge trimmer. Mm. Maybe you don't want to get married at the urgent care.
Maybe not. But this couple wanted to get married at Cypress Cove Nudist Resort. March 5th, 2008. On their first wedding day, the Pierches wore suit and dress so their families could feel comfortable. But Valentine's Day, 2019, they finally had the ceremony that they had always wanted, renewing their vows at their beloved beach resort, entirely in the nude.
I hope the weather was nice.
I think so. Valentine's Day, I mean February, but Cypress Cove Nudist Resort. Probably, it's, you know, I think that nudist resorts are probably placed in warmer places.
Yeah, it's got to be
pretty
nice.
Pretty temperate climate, I would assume.
Yeah, lots of sun.
Mrs. Pierce told the New York Times that she had always wanted to do a nude barefoot wedding, and she got to have her dream. And her husband, of 11 years at that point, added, "We are just in a wedding that we had to go get all dressed up for, and it was a lot more stressful than rolling up wearing nothing."
I mean,
if the choice is clothes or not clothes, and you want to make no choices, then not clothes is the ultimate no choice.
But
right?
I mean, you do have to budget extra for sunscreen and bug spray.
Noted.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And this experience is not a rare one, actually. Many nudist communities throughout the United States host nude or clothing optional weddings. And there are a number of reasons that couples decide to go au naturel.
So I guess you're saying it's wilder to get married wearing clothes. That's the wilder option when you think about it. We came into this world naked, and we should start our new lives naked as well.
If that's what you're into.
Sure. I would not be able to do that because the whole time I'd be like, this, but that's me.
I don't think that it's the fact, they're not included because this is uncommon. They're included because there was a big New York Times article about it. So most nudist communities are very tight-knit. So usually the couple's friends are already living near or on the property. And so it makes it very easy to celebrate. Even some couples who aren't nudists have been known to frequent these resorts as a show of vulnerability for their wedding, right? Carolyn Hawkins, who has officiated a number of nude weddings, also points out that getting married at a nudist colony is a very smart financial move because you have the properties usually have a clubhouse and they can have their own little party and you don't have to travel or take a honeymoon, right? Because you're right there. And they can spend more money on the party.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
If you would like to know about Regis and Tabitha's nude nuptials, they would be happy to tell you about it. As of 2019, Regis was working as the activities director at Cypress Cove Nudist Resort, and Tabitha was also working at the property where they met and they fell in love. She's a bartender at the appropriately and awesomely named Cheeks Bar and Grill.
Oh, I see.
And Scuttlebutt's Lounge.
That's great.
Very cute.
Cheeks is good. Scuttlebutt's is top notch. I enjoy that immensely. Speaking of enjoying things, Teresa, would you like to tell the people at home what it means to you to have them support Schmanners through the Max Fun Drive every year?
Well, it means the world because it affords us to do the podcasts and the many like appearances or con stuff or the different live shows and things like that to be able to do that full time. And not only that, we get to enjoy employment through that fun drive. We also support others, editors and managers and all sorts of people. It takes a village to make all of this happen. And it's through the Max Fun Drive members' generosity that we get to pay them a good wage and benefits and really take care of the people that we employ.
And how does it feel knowing that out there, there are people who care enough about our show to support it financially?
It feels amazing. I feel so privileged and blessed. And every year they continue to show up and show out and blow me away.
It's incredible. And I couldn't echo those enough. It feels the same way. I feel so lucky to get to do what we do. And without the support from people listening, we wouldn't get to do it. And so every year, not only is Max Fun Drive a chance for us to ask you to consider supporting the show, but it's also a chance for us to say thank you. Because without you, I joke about it at the end of most of the show, but without you, we couldn't do this. And it means the world to me and to my family that you all have chosen year over year to come out and show us support. So if you're thinking about being a supporter, do it now. And while you're still thinking about it, MaximumFun.org/join.
Let's move on to most viewed weddings.
And this wasn't the nude one?
No.
Okay.
Not that one. This probably won't shock anybody, but the most viewed wedding in history is the ceremony for Meghan Markle and Prince Harry on May 19th, 2018. Which, I mean, seems like a bonkers kind of thing, right? Because not only was it like viewed in mass attendance, right, inside and outside of the venue, outside of the palace, also on several television networks and live streams and all sorts of things. It must be, you think about like Grace Kelly's wedding being considered a circus, but this whole thing took incredible orchestration, right? Yeah. Such a big thing that everybody wanted to see.
Yeah.
Amazing, right? Let's give you some stats.
Give me them stats.
The ceremony cost a paltry $3 million.
Oh, that's all?
Right.
Ah!
But the wedding altogether cost $43
million. Wow.
With the bulk of that going to security and police and other measures to ensure the safety of the royals and the guests and also the people watching. Right? So the huge crowds and things like that.
I bet pickpockets were rampant.
It's possible.
I've talked about it.
I don't have any stats on that.
I have this completely unearned fear of pickpockets. I'm convinced when I leave my house, there's just street urchins everywhere working for Fagin, ready to pick a pocket or two. I'm convinced.
There were 600 guests, including politicians, other members of royalty, lots of stars, including Idris Elba, Tom Hardy, James Corden,
Travis McElroy,
Sir Elton John. No, I don't think you were.
I didn't want to outshine the event.
That's a great callback. You, good baby. Job. Good Thank job. You. Good job. Pat on the back for you.
I'm so tired.
And George and Amal Clooney. And 2,000 other people waited for them in the Royal Gardens, and then millions more tuned in at home. All told, Harry and Meghan's wedding drew a record-breaking 1.9 billion viewers and was said to have generated 1.27 billion for the British economy.
Wow.
And this is not like an unheard of thing for the British royal like extravaganza, right? Top three spots for most viewed televised weddings of all time belong to the royal family. Charles and Diana come in second, and then Prince William and Kate Middleton are third, each with their nuptials gaining more than a billion television
views. They know how to throw a party.
They sure do. Let's move on to worst honeymoon.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
How bad would that have to be?
Okay.
Okay.
Sir Walter Raleigh had a very interesting life. He was a naval hero, a noted feature in Queen Elizabeth's court.
An explorer?
One of the first British colonizers of the Americas.
Sure.
And he has a handful of towns and cities named after him here.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's most famous here in the States for establishing the doomed colony at Roanoke.
Sure.
But like I said, Raleigh, North Carolina, there's other Raleighs and things like that.
There's the restaurant chain Raleigh's?
No, that's Raleigh's.
Oh, okay.
He was a favorite of the aging Queen Elizabeth I, who required that people in her court ask her permission before they marry. And being an idiot, he got in trouble with her in 1591 because he was having a secret affair with one of her ladies-in-waiting.
Ah, man.
Giant no-no. Do not do, right? Bad. That puts you on the bad list, right? His lover, Bess Throckmorton, became pregnant. He secretly married her without ever asking anything of the queen.
Oh, boy.
Couple of strikes against him there, right? Three strikes, you're out. And that's about what's going to happen. Because when she found out, she was enraged.
Yeah.
She banished them from court. She locked them both in the Tower of London. However, her heart was softened when their son of this union passed away. And so she allowed for Bess to be released, but Walter had to continue to serve out several months and was still banished from court for 5 years. And so he spent the next several years doing everything he could before being imprisoned in the Tower again in 1603, probably for just being a jerk about everything.
So
right?
You're saying that their honeymoon was spent in prison?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is kind of a couch to this, right? Because
they got a couch in their prison cell?
Yes. They had extreme wealth and status, so they weren't exactly like in a cell like you picture, like a dungeon in chains and
they
things like that.
Okay.
They had an apartment where it was living rather comfortably for the time. Bess and two other servants were allowed to live in the apartment with Walter. And they even had their second child there, their son, Carew, in the Tower, which is pretty metal, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Thank you once again for your support. This is, like I said, the last episode that you'll hear us talking about the Max Fun Drive this year. So don't wait. If you're thinking about it, if you're like, oh, I do want to support them this year. I want to upgrade. I want to boost, whatever. This is the time. Go to MaximumFun.org/join while you're still thinking about it so it doesn't slip right out of your head. We appreciate it immensely. We also want to say thank you to our researcher, Alex, without whom we could not make this show. We want to say thank you to our editor, Rachel, without whom we could not make this show. And we want to say thank you to you, without whom we wouldn't have Rachel or Alex. So thank you all so much for your support. What else, Teresa?
We always thank Brent Brentofloss Black for writing our theme music, which is available as a ringtone where those are found. Also, thank you to Bruja Betty Pennett Photography for the cover picture of our fan-run Facebook group, Schmanners Fanners. If you love to give and get excellent advice from other fans, go ahead and join that group today. If you have any, you know, wild wedding stories that you want to share with us, you can email Alex, A-L-E-X-X, at schmannerscast@gmail.com. She loves to read those stories. Also, you can send in your topic submissions and suggestions and your idioms and questions. Send it all there and say hi to Alex because she reads every single one.
And that's going to do it for us. So join us again next week.
No RSVP required.
You've been listening to Schmanners.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.